Hey everybody, welcome to the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host and founder of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Bonino. Today I have with me in office a blessing, my Italian New Jersey angel, the person I manifested and prayed for to come into my life at a whopping 4'10".
4'11 and a half.
Are you 4'11 and a half?
Shut the fuck up.
All right. Jenna Rose Romano, our in-house clinician, psychotherapist, working on her new programs coming out. You're going to see those soon.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to do a podcast.
Yeah.
She actually wanted to do something different. We only have about 30 minutes to do this podcast because she has some childcare things that she has to address. But Jenna wanted to take the reins on this one and take it away.
All right, here we go. I'm going to interview Dennis today. Can you hear me? Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2. All right. You know, first of all, I wanted to say that the conference was fucking amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't even have words. I think it was something different than anyone has ever been to. And I wanted to just kind of praise you on that and talk with you a little bit about. So, like, you know, I had texted this to you, but I also posted about it, too. I said, you know, last week you really transformed from a training agency to a fucking movement.
Thank you.
I really do think that.
I think that it's been a movement, but I think it became very clear that it is a movement.
Exactly.
So I don't think it transformed. I think, and I said this before, I was just talking to somebody, I think I was talking to Dina before, that people are, I said this yesterday actually in a phone conversation with somebody, it wasn't Dina I was talking to. And I said, when people find something that they feel like they belong a part of. There were guys and girls who came there that said to me, you know, I really needed to be reminded of a lot of things. I said, well, you need to come to the people that are like you. We were 1,000 police officers from the same mindset. The things that we say as a company and as human beings stand for something. And it means on many levels, but overall to macro, being a great person and being a great person to this world. Yeah. So when that speaks to you and it really starts to awaken your soul and your character of who you really are and you're finding yourself, it means a lot to people. Nobody became a cop, or most people didn't become a cop to go and run radar. That was just not the game plan for most cops.
No.
Why people still do it, I'm not going to go deep dive into that whole topic or conversation, but they just needed, you know, I even talk about this. I was telling Dina yesterday about, you know, they do social media, her, Caitlin and Allie, we're going to have a conversation with them side hustling their social media skills. Mm-hmm. Say, guys, you guys are 22 years old. If I was 22 years old and somebody sat me down and began to talk to me and give me perspective on what more I could do with my life and making an extra $50,000 a year with the skills and abilities that you have on top of working here, you may have been talking to somebody completely different and at least financially different. So the same thing applies, is that people were given just this. But when they get the things that they always wanted to be given, it means a lot to them. So maybe it became clear to a lot of people of what we really are having an impact in the world. And I think I've told you this, and I don't know if I did tell you this, but I felt like I was getting my eulogy early. I did, which I loved, and I kind of didn't like at the same time because I don't like
knowing your impact.
I like knowing the impact, but I also don't want me to believe that my job is done or that I... you know, that to fall off course of what my vision is for this thing.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me, although I at times I have to run a business because it's a business, the purpose of what we're doing was very, very, not that I ever lost sight of it, but it was very, very powerful to be reminded nonstop all week of the impact we've had, all those seeds of kindness and empathy and being selfless and all the, you know, the doing the right thing always. I guess you started to see your crop rising.
Yeah.
Looking over this vast farm of, wow, like this is really, you know, we're in an office in New Jersey. I come here every week with 20 people in the office and we run a company. I go into the field and at times I'll meet 100, sometimes 200, sometimes 250. people, that's okay. God bless. People in class, but to have 1,000 people who were just excited to see and meet you and everybody else, and then to spend time professing to you how you've impacted their lives or the lives of others. And still, as of this morning, a guy, I mean, I have a guy wrote to me, and I'm not going to say his name, of course, but I got a Facebook message this morning that I was cycling through them. And basically what he said was, and I'm trying to pull it up on the fly here so I can get to it fast enough. Oh, I have a lot of messages. He wrote to me. Okay, I can't find it. But he said, like, oh, I really should find it. You know what it was? I was wishing happy birthdays to people. Well, anyway.
Happy birthday notifications popping up.
Well, you know, if I have some time, I try to say happy birthday to everybody whose birthday it is, even though I may not know them personally. But what he said was he was in a bad place when he came there and felt a lot better when he left. That was overall the topic of conversation. So to watch the guys and girls who got basically zero recognition for being shot in the line of duty to finally getting some recognition from their peers, it's not going to last forever. But it was a reminder to them that we actually appreciate, even us as their coworkers, appreciate what they went through.
I think that level of support is really it's craved in law enforcement.
It's craved in life.
In life, absolutely.
You go through something traumatic. I think about, somebody just told me something. They said, when I was sick in the hospital on the brink of death, somebody just told me this, that nobody was calling, nobody was checking on me. And all I want, somebody's mother just passed away and said, I forgot who that was. We just had this conversation. They said, she said that her friends, whose mom just passed away? It was somebody just recently that I was speaking with, but I can't remember. It's terrible that I say that because I'm sure it meant a lot. But nobody was even giving her friends weren't even calling her. Oh, my friend, my cousin's husband, Chris. I was at a wedding last Sunday in Queens. And I was telling him about like what our purpose is and what we do. And he goes, you know, dude, his mother just passed away. She was a very nice woman. But at the end, she's like, Chris, nobody calls me. I'm gonna die. And nobody's calling. My friends aren't calling. Whatever reason causes that, and I have been guilty of that as an earlier, younger gentleman, but I would never do that now. As a matter of fact, I texted somebody in my life who was very, very ill, you know, who was on a very short timeline. And this morning I just texted and said, do you need anything? That's all. Right. I professed how I feel about the whole situation. I told her that I felt it's completely unfair that you've been handed these cards. I think it's ridiculous. I'll never understand it. But what I can do for you is let you know that I give a fuck.
Right.
And I just every 3 or 4 days, I just say to her, how are you? How are you feeling? What are you going through? And is there anything I can do for you? And I really mean that. I actually wish that she would say, yes, there is something you could do for me. If that makes any sense, I don't want to do that. But it'd be nothing more than give me pleasure for her to say, you know what, I always wanted to go to Acapulco. And I'll go, done.
Take you up on the offer.
Yeah, I would like that. I mean, I've sent things. Not that I don't want to overstep my bounds because it is a family member of mine, although not my blood relative. but I think at a very minimum, she should be remembered or reminded that people are thinking about you.
Right. Right. And I think that that's like a very natural human thing to know that you have a tribe and know that you're cared for. We're social creatures, you know, like even like dogs, cats, they want companionship. They want to know that there's other people who understand them and care about them. And I think like existentially too, it's like you want to know that when you leave this world, what does it really mean? Like, what are we doing? So I think that people start to think about things beyond what's right here and what's right now and moving into like, you know, how can I live a life that I'm really proud of? I think that that's, that's defined differently for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I know me, like I want to impact lives, but for someone else that might be, you know, I want to raise a healthy family. For somebody else, it might be like, I don't know, I want to live on this island, know that I lived on this island or done these activities, right? So
I just want to say like, people, if you follow a core set of principles and you have a goal and you're planting seeds, don't think that because you can't see them growing, that they're not growing.
Right.
Because I got to see my crops for a week. And it's very emotional for me because I've paid a lot of dues. A lot of people don't know that. Maybe get emotional, talk about it now. Trying to not get emotional about it, but
you're in the presence of a therapist.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I paid a lot because I'm going back to Tuesday, because Tuesday I was very emotional over the whole thing, especially with Josh Fidel talking and Jesse Hartnett and a lot of other things were going on at that time. And it's, you just reflect back on the 9 years of dues that I've paid thus far. And let's call it like it is, the 21 years or 20 and a half years of being in this industry and the dues that I've paid. I mean, I started paying the dues the minute I decided to take the civil service test when I was 19 years old.
Absolutely.
I started paying more dues when I showed up to do my packet at the Department of Corrections, the first day of police academy, first day of my third police academy, then my last day of, and all the things in between. Oddly enough, interestingly, this was like a very pivotal moment for our company. And I was just telling somebody in the office this before as well. I hate to sound redundant with this. There was a police academy in New Jersey that when I started teaching, sided with somebody who was running interference for me. They had political connections and literally canceled my class where we had people signed up. I called the, and I had a relationship with them. I was there for, I had done 3 or 4 classes there. And I called the woman who we usually dealt with. And she's like, yeah, well, he doesn't want to speak to you. I'm like, we have a class in 2 weeks. She's like, no, you don't.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's real. I literally got a text before from my friend who said, the chiefs of these organization and this whole thing want to know if you have time to do a Zoom with them. And I don't hold any animosity. I'm not holding grudges. I am, even if it was the person directly, if you decide to lay down the sword and come to our side because you realize what the actual mission objective was, although it may have hurt your feelings at the beginning, I don't sit here and say, oh, ha, 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 look who needs who now. That's not the game for me. The game is understand what we're doing. And if you don't see how clearly it is in the beginning, and it takes you a little time to sift through the fog to see who we really are.
Right.
And that's how you're getting a lot of that out of the conference. I think people really
found the essence.
Yeah, it was the best professional week of my life.
And it was a manifestation of everything that you've been building, I think.
A fraction of it. We have a large audience.
Absolutely.
But I think the people who were, some people came because they felt like they needed it. Some people were motivated. Some people got sent. Some people didn't know and tagged along with their friends. But I know 1,000 people left different.
Yeah.
It was big.
But it was an overall vibe of your tribe, of the support that you've created. I know everybody wasn't there, but like it represented the overall feel for what you put out into the world, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
it was like a concentrated feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. It felt very cohesive. Like it felt like everybody there like knew each other.
Right.
It just felt like really, really comfortable.
Sure. Think about it. If you believe in something so much, people go to KISS concerts, right? Mm-hmm. Usually people at KISS concerts and like Grateful Dead concerts. When you get in there, you're all family.
Yeah. I didn't think about it like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely.
Don't worry. I'm kind of a therapist too.
Yeah. I mean, even when we were talking about like, you know, me speaking and I'm like, I think it's too early on. I haven't even rolled out my classes. A little bit shy about it. Being there, I said to my husband, I'm like, I could have totally spoke here. Like, I felt very
the energy was nuts, right?
And the energy was just really, really, like I said, just very cohesive and close. And I think that like we were saying, it's really, really craved, not only in life, but specifically in this career. You come, you know, there's a lot at stake.
A lot, including your life.
Yeah. You know, and people are sacrificing a lot emotionally and physically. And I don't think that they're validated for that. Not only by the general public, but even within the departments that they work for. And some of them, you know, I'm not going to speak for all, but generally speaking. So to have a commonality and crave that support and find that support, I think that will, you know, I talk about stress and burnout, and I think that really refreshed a lot of people as to
purpose,
their why.
Yeah, purpose, right? Their why, yep.
I mean, and then it was refreshing for my why, because it's like, okay,
that's my whole week was the why.
I'm needed. I'm like, whoa, people are here, and I'm neat. I mean, and I've said this, it was the busiest week, with instructors reaching out to me, with individuals reaching out to me. A lot of stuff was coming to surface for people, and they were reaching out for guidance and support and help, whether that was coaching or whether that was formal assistance getting linked up to a therapist. And I really thought that it was a really wonderful breakthrough, because these were people who were kind of like, I've been holding this in, and I feel really, I feel like a relief talking about this now.
To you.
Yeah.
You're going to become, I mean, I deflect a lot of offers, and I remind people that I have spent a lot of time earning trust and attention.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that's valuable when you're talking about what we're doing. So as you begin to earn more trust and attention, and I remind to anybody who has trust and attention that don't ever put that on the line, because that's everything. Because once you lose trust and attention, it's over.
Yeah.
And when people begin to trust you, things start to open up. And it's so interesting as we add things in, like especially the conversation with mental health and mental fitness, you know, and you being a part of the company, that has really come to the forefront of a lot of people coming forward to me looking for help, which I'm very proud of. And certainly trying to work within what I can do, basically sending it over to you to get people the support that they need.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And I'm always going to find time for everybody, you know? So that's may take me a little bit, but these things are important to us.
Yeah. Some people just like honestly need that buffer. They need that first step of like, who can I talk with that I value, that I trust? And we talked about this in the last podcast, you know, how to seek that person out, what we're looking for in those types of people. And from there, just kind of speaking to me, I think, you know, knowing that I'm a therapist, that I worked as a therapist for so long, I'm not doing it anymore, but even doing the coaching that I'm doing, it's, you know, my thing is self-help or seek help. I'm going to help you figure out how to help yourself and know where the line is drawn of seeking professional help and how to do that and how to be comfortable with that and what to expect with that. And if we start to break some of that away, and we really start to normalize that in this field, I think that that will really, really do wonders moving forward. So, yeah, I think that the vision and the mission became really, really clear. And it's far beyond education for cops. Mm-hmm. It's so far beyond that. It's about camaraderie.
Compassion.
It's about compassion. It's about self and personal, professional development.
Acknowledgement.
Absolutely. It's about giving people as a whole, not just what they need as a cop, what they need as a person, as an individual, everything to thrive and not be complacent in their life, to really, really develop into an amazing person.
Yeah, you can be a cop and be an amazing person at the same time.
Absolutely. I met amazing, you know, let me just say something. I met our instructors and I've talked to them. We have a group thread. We talk. I talk to them by phone. I've talked to them by email, text message. A lot of them have come to me with questions and referrals because people are coming, like I said, people are coming forward after their classes. And it's kind of like, okay, you're now a trusted person for me. What do you think about this? What do you think about this mental health issue? What do you think about I'm drinking too much? What do you think about I'm getting a divorce? What do you, anything, right? Because they're looking at you as mentors. So now with that comes an abundance of needs, that some that you're equipped to handle and some that you're not equipped to handle. Mm-hmm. So I've had the instructors come forward and I've met them so many times and they're all such amazing and talented people. And truthfully, I don't know shit about their classes because I'm not a cop, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I met Tommy Brooks and I'm like, I just want to touch your beard. Mm-hmm. You're so cool.
He is cool.
I don't know shit about what you teach, but like, you're so cool, you know?
He's a cool dude.
Right. And I've met, you know, a million different people in general, but instructor wise, I've met nearly all of our instructors. And I can say that meeting them, don't know shit about them as an instructor, don't know shit about them as a cop. I'm like, these are fucking awesome people. Mm-hmm. Just a great human.
That's right.
Great humans to be around.
That's right.
People who genuinely love what they do, want to give back in whatever capacity their skill set is, and they're becoming mentors. And it's such an amazing thing to watch. And it was such an amazing thing for me to watch and to meet those people and to be able to say, like, wow, this is our crew. Like, I'm proud.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I'm really proud.
They're great.
So, like, and you have put it all together. You've, like, you know, picked out this person and that person and this skill set and that skill set. And, I mean, it's a movement. This is not a training company.
What do you have on your notes there?
Hmm. Do you want me to read it?
Well, I don't know. Tell me what you want to ask me.
I want to know what your vision is.
For what?
For the company.
For this company?
Yep.
This could change in the future. I think I've mentioned that to people in the past about when I discuss what my goals are, that they could change. But right now, my goals are that I'm trying to reverse engineer how to get all the police officers in this world the training that they need. And when I mean training in the most macro way possible, mm-hmm. and I'm talking about, just to give you a little context on what I mean.
Yeah, I was going to say.
From being good human beings to having skills that they need to perform and thrive at their job, and all the way down to things that they need to know to stay alive and keep others alive.
Yep.
So everything in between all of that, you know, we talked, Sean Barnett was on the podcast yesterday.
Love him too.
Yeah, everybody does.
I met him. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I mean, he's passionate.
Oh, my God.
He contacted me with 10 different ideas. Like, he's just awesome. Sorry.
No, it's okay. We talked about a video of a Taiwanese police officer who tries to rescue a kid who's drowning and doesn't know how to do anything, but holds the kid upside down and whacks him in the back 100 times. And the kid ends up coughing up the water. And I said to myself in that moment, why would we not even offer some of this for the Taiwanese police departments? Free on YouTube.
Hmm.
So, you know, people have to understand, yes, it's a business. I have to employ people. And the more money we procure, basically, it's almost like a donation to a cause of making the world better. So when you pay your fee to come to our training courses, which I think is a bargain deal, I think, for what you pay for what you'll take a class for. And this is not, I know this whole podcast sounds like a pitch, but this is the real essence of how I see things. I think for the $199 to $299 or anywhere in between that you pay for class, I think the value is 10x. And sometimes people want an ROI immediately. But what you don't realize is, wow, 2 years later, I'm in a DEA task force making 64 hours of overtime a week, and I'm going to make $80,000 more this year. Well, how did this happen? Well, we have the skills to help you fulfill what your life is and should be like, or how you saw it. Maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, when you start hearing and seeing these things. So on a professional level, it is to change the culture, to get the training that we need. It's a big to-do. I don't know if I'll do it in my lifetime, but what I could tell you is I will be able to control and change the things that I know I can control and change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to be unrealistic with what it is. It is not a one-man fight. Certainly, we know that. But I think that at the end of it all, I can say, wow, we really did something here.
Yeah.
You know, and what you don't realize is when you impact police work and it's so intertwined with society, it impacts so much more about society and the world because we are intertwined with it. So when you can teach cops that, hey, this is a better way to behave. I know you don't know it. I know it wasn't intentional. And I know it's a hard thing to try to balance how to command respect when you're new with somebody who's being disrespectful and nobody's giving you those skills and how to do that yet.
Yeah.
Or you watch videos and you're now the guy who's locked up and frozen and don't know what to do because you weren't a confrontational person as a human being. Maybe we can show you a way to reverse engineer or reverse psychology that thing where that person's now apologizing to you for their behavior and taking on a different perspective of who we are as human beings, as police officers. I will say this, and I believe this in my heart. A far majority, and I'm talking about 99% plus of police officers, are the best human beings I've ever known in my life. They just are lacking training. That's all it comes down to. They're not bad people. And some of them are very highly trained, but when you see things of cops doing stupid shit, I just know there's one fix to it all. It's just a lack of training. That's all it is. There's a lack of perspective and a lack of training that all comes together. So if that's the answer, that's who we are. We're a training company.
Right.
We'll have hundreds of different instructors and hundreds of different ways to access the training so everybody can get it. Because I know about the guys and girls in the middle of nowhere that have no way, have no training budget. They make peanuts money, but they do have the internet. And we recognize that, you know, so I'm trying to encompass all those things. And there's this thing that you'll hear me say it a lot. I didn't come up with it, but it's how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So every day I come in here, sometimes I leave and I'm like, man, I could have done just a little more today. Sometimes I feel guilty about having to make some tough decisions and canceling a class. Sometimes I don't, because I think about, can I make this happen? Is there one person in that class going to be alive next week for their family because they were able to sit in this class and hear me say, stay off the driver's side of the car, pay attention, treat every motor vehicle stop as you're going to die, you're going to live. Be aware of your surroundings. Always be alert while you're working. Don't pick and choose the places where you sit and write reports. Don't make yourself a vulnerable target.
Mm-hmm.
Go hide out somewhere. All these things that we're trying to use are 20 plus years of my personal experiences and now my job of analyzing how to do this better and giving it to somebody. It's a gift, you know? It's a gift that I was given, and to not share it would burn me. And I'm just trying to share more and more of it.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, I've collected a lot of data from a lot of people. So, you know, for 7 years, I've been really soaking in as much education as I can to be the person that everybody needs me to be, on top of being somebody who's good at police work. So,
yeah, absolutely.
What's your final thoughts here today as we roll into your 1 o'clock deadline?
I'm going to give you a slow clap.
That's it. I thought we'd have one last drive of some decent, thoughtful candor.
And then you got to pass, right?
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. So I went from golf to a concert.
No, my final thought is that I was very moved being at the conference, and I really thought that you deserve some recognition to process what that meant to you, what your intentions are behind that, what your intentions are behind the company. I think that it's wildly evident. But, you know, it's always nice to talk about it, too.
Yeah. I had a good moment to myself that I'll never forget. And it was a 2-hour moment. No, it was. It was 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because contrary to what people see in the way that I act and behave on stage or in videos and we're funny and this, that, and the other thing, one thing that I heard over and over again from other people were like, people are just amazed at how nice, they just can't believe how nice you are. They expect you to be a little more of an asshole. I can understand where that comes from. I can understand why you would perceive that. I speak with passion and emotion. I curse. I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah.
I'm physically a larger guy. I kind of look like a dick, I guess, a little bit. Right? So I do. Like, you think about it. If you're making assessments about people, making judgments, I'm fitting a mold of, like, Jersey cop, right?
Yeah.
Big mouth.
Loud mouth.
Yeah, sure. Funny, cursing, very type A, very dominant. I run a company and I run it with a lot of empathy and compassion, but it's all day of me. This, I'm the shot caller here. Not because I'm insecure about it. That's my role here.
Mm-hmm.
They sit and wait for the shots to be called and we have candor back and forth. So that was probably one of the nicest compliments that I heard, is people start to see my real true colors.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I don't think that, again, if you catch 30 seconds of something, what the fuck kind of assessment are you going to make about somebody? You know what I mean?
People do though.
Right.
And that's okay.
So that was cool. That was a cool thing. That there was a lot of great things that happened last week. And I got refocused on how to prioritize what my priorities are.
Yeah. And we have so many, based upon the needs that are coming, coming in and making themselves known to us, we have so many different ideas of things that we're going to be doing here.
It's a tall order.
Really, really excited about rolling out.
It's a tall order.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And, you know, the kitchen can only cook as fast as it can.
Right. No, totally. You don't want to burn out because you're doing so many different things. But like,
for me, it's not the burnout side of it, is because I can go nonstop. People always ask, how do you have so much energy? It just never ends.
No, but you're a very effective leader in the sense that you are able to dictate, but you're also able to let go and put people
leverage
in positions that you trust, that share your same vision, that share your same passion, and you let them roll it out and do what they need to do. Like, you're not on top of my ass. You know what I mean? Like, you let me do what I need to do, and you let me create what I want to create, and then I bring it to you, and you're like, okay, sounds good. how about X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, okay, well, here, you know, this is what I'm thinking. So I think that that's like one of the keys to effective leadership, but not only that, burnout as well. Mm-hmm. You see a need, you're going to fulfill the need, but you can't do everything yourself.
That's right. That's right. It's a constant game of leverage.
Yeah.
And the game of leverage has to do with how many people do you have to go through to find the right person to leverage that off on.
Right.
And we go through people here.
Right.
Not only instructors, but employees.
Yeah.
And it just goes that way.
Sure.
Because it's got to work. And that's one of the, listen, it's people don't know, but I spend an ungodly amount of time in business development.
Yeah.
I'm learning from those who are already doing it, who have the intrinsic abilities or have learned the learned skills of 25, 30 years in business. And every day I sit with them twice a day while I work out. You know, people come to my basement. People have asked to work out. They're like, oh, dude, can I come over and work out at your gym? I'm like, yeah. And come downstairs and we're listening to podcasts and audiobooks. They're like, is this for real? And I'm like, yeah, what do you think? I blast club music while I'm working out? I'm already pumped the fuck up. This is my brain. So my body goes and my brain is now working. The most ideas I get, no, the bullshit, this is real. In my day, the most important stuff manifests during my workouts and my shower. It's true. That's it.
When your brain's slowing down.
Whatever it is, it's just, it's where I go into my creative side of my brain while I'm working out, but also people are priming my brain. So as I'm hearing these other things, they are sparking ideas and interests in my head. Ooh, that made me think of this. That made me think of that. And I'm texting people because they know when you work here as an employee, you go before you leave, ask every time I start texting in the morning, 6:30, 4 a.m. Hey, I think we should do this on Instagram.
Oh my God.
7:03. Good. And then I always write at the end, by the way, good morning. Because I'm up and going, man. I'm addicted to it in a way that I know, I don't know why I don't say addicted to it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, passionate. I don't know, addiction's not the right word. I love it. And because I love it, and I love everything
it
about it.
It drives you.
It energizes you. I love what it's done for my life. I love what it's doing for other people's lives.
Absolutely.
I love what it does, everything across the board. I'm very into it. So that's it. It's listen, like, we went 5 minutes
like
over.
Like the movie, like The Greatest Showman. You're like the...
I never watched it. I heard the music on my house. My wife watches it.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Listen, we had to cut this one short. Jenna had to go. She has childcare issues that she has to...
I got to be a mama.
Yeah. So without further ado, thank you guys. Check out StreetCopTraining.com or StreetCop.com. Our Facebook group, Street Cop Training, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, all those things. More to come. Hiring a lot of people. We will continue this movement, as Jenna has said. I appreciate her coming in today and it's kind of turning the tables for me a little bit.
Yeah, man.
I don't get many times that people want to interview me. I'm usually the interviewer.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. Anyway.
Well, yeah, you deserved it. You did an awesome job last week.
Thank you. Thank you. I like you playing. Every time I talk to you, I'm like, oh, what kind of psychotic, crazy shit is she
doing
to me?
Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
I want to say I'm proud of you, but I don't want to sound like a mom, especially because you're older than me, because I'm young.
You're not. Okay.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. You're 5 years younger than me. Just I'll give it a break.
You're getting me.
All right. Without further ado, that's it, guys. Have a great day. Be safe out there.
All right. Take care, everybody.